Now on BBC Radio 4, the second programme in our series Taking Note, in which musical experts take a fresh look at great pieces of classical music. This week's programme is about Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto in E minor.
The first thing that strikes me about this piece is that, unlike concertos pre this period, there's no big orchestral introduction where you get an idea of the themes that might be about to appear. Not at all in the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto. You are straight in. You have a mere bar and a half to get your act together, and you are in with this fantastic theme. And of course, listening to that theme, one thing is glaringly obvious. Where are the other three strings on the violin? It's all on the E string.
He talks about the first theme as him having been haunted by this theme for years. So this piece was not, as we would, if we listen to it now, assume like a happy 2 months where he would just write it down and be really proud of it. For years he worked on it, but this word of being haunted by a melody, I think, is also something that fits very much to the opening theme. And there is lots of nervousness, anxiety, anger in the whole beginning of the first movement. It's wonderful for the violin, it's wonderful in the fingers. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's certainly only Bartok maybe is written with that same fantastic hand for the violin.
All of his themes are exquisite, and none more so than his second subject of the first movement, which has got to rate among one of the best themes ever written by any composer for any instrument. I think one of the things that's so special about this particular second subject theme is the simplicity, the candour, if you like, of this theme. It is romantic, it is heart on sleeve, however he has retained something of the classicism to it as well. So it's not opulent in the way that, for instance, a Tchaikovsky theme would be. It's slightly more reserved, but in a sense it's more touching because of the reserve. Thank you. What I find very interesting about Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto is the fact that he was on the cusp between classical and romantic. And as such, he has written the perfect miniature romantic violin concerto, but which has a very classical element to it as well. So he's taking the main ideas of a classical concerto, which is a fast movement followed by a slow movement followed by a fast movement, but he's also adding his own extra little ideas to it. And this, I think, is one of the things that makes it such a unique piece. Most major violin concertos were inspired by a particular violinist, of course, and in this particular case, Mendelssohn had in mind his concertmaster, Ferdinand David, and the idea was first put forward in 1838. However, Mendelssohn dragged his heels a little bit and didn't finish the violin concerto until 1844.
He was a very difficult man, also very nervous, overactive, and very often very unhappy with his compositions. And that doesn't fit with our image of most of the pieces, who seem to have a smile around the edges, and many of his pieces he would condemn. Or like this piece, where he worked on years to give it the form he wanted it to have. And also in his personal life, he must have been a very generous and helpful character and in contact with many people, but also very, very driven.
Another of the elements about Mendelssohn's violin concerto that is quite unusual is the placing of the cadenza. Now, normally, of course, in a Mozart concerto, the cadenza would take place pretty near the end of the first movement, and it may not be particularly long. It might be just a few little short ideas as a reflection on what's happened already in the movement. However, Mendelssohn, in fact, decides to go off almost completely at a tangent. There's not too much that is relevant to the themes that we've already heard. In fact, there's a marked absence of first and second subject in his cadenza, and it's much more like a sort of harmonic flourish, if you like, full of arpeggios and broken chords and things.
And then this is something I think every composer since then has envied Mendelssohn, and many have actually quite shamelessly copied it. He lets me come into a pattern of a jumping bow, which fades out in dynamic, and then he has the flute sneak in with the main theme. It's really can't be described. At the moment, it's really magic. Thank you.
I was quite young when I first heard the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto, and I remember that my father gave me a box set of violin concertos played by Heifetz, and there was the Brahms, and there was the Mendelssohn as well. And for some reason or other, either the recording was sharp or our record player was playing sharp, but I thought that it was actually an F minor because it was going that much faster. And of course, Heifetz never particularly sat down with his tempi, so he was already playing it quite fast. So you could imagine even a semitone faster. And it really went like the wind. And so I always found this very, very exciting performance. Was a little disappointed when I heard a subsequent recording. It was in the correct key and probably a slightly more correct tempo. At the end of the first movement, the pace really ups quite substantially, and we end with a presto, a furioso presto, and this is the first time that we've really had a proper orchestral elongated passage. Mendelssohn does a very unexpected thing. He ends with the final chord, and the whole orchestra stops playing, with the exception of the bassoon. And this is a very now famous moment in music. And the B gradually diminuendos, gets softer and softer until it begins the slow movement, which is a lullaby in feeling. It's in 6-8, a beautiful, gentle, swinging, rolling melody. And this, I think, again, one of the greatest themes ever written.
That is like a song without words, a lullaby. Actually, I wouldn't even say it is incredibly strong as a composition. It's a beautiful theme, but it's not mind-shattering, or he doesn't want to be. It's really nice to have something that is on such a simple and innocent level at that moment. I think most of us know, if we are in really difficult, even tragic situations, there is often a relief coming from whatever, for some people might it be religious or it might be just a change of situation, and then this feeling that this nightmare is lifted from you, that's something I think it's common for all humans, and that's the feeling of this connection to the slow movement. One cannot exactly describe how it is done, but that it is fundamental feeling that all we who are in the room and listening to the piece, we all on a sudden share, and that's what concerts for me are made for. Me not being religious, but knowing that the feeling of sharing a feeling is a very important thing for humans. For me it happens almost whenever I go to a concert, that I'm tremendously touched. But not only by the music, but by the fact that we are all sitting there and contacting our soul, or getting close to our own feelings. And this element of great tension that may be resolved into something that's even more beautiful than it would have been without the tension.
Like any good slow movement, of course, there is a more developmental passage in order to allow a more lyrical juxtaposition of melodies. And Mendelssohn chooses to give the violinist a theme and a counter theme, if you like, to play at the same time. So there are the little rolling notes that go on underneath another lyrical melody. This builds up to a grand climax, and of course with it being in the minor key at this point in time, it's very, very dramatic. So Mendelssohn was not averse to overlaying a little drama into his very lyrical and beautiful slow movement. It subsides, and then we have the idea of the deedle 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 taken up in the orchestra, and we have the main theme once again up at the top of the violin. It's absolutely beautiful, really one of the great moments of violin playing.
I think I have played this piece certainly 150 times, and sheer magic with this piece is that I every time and every rehearsal really enjoy playing it. I really don't know how this can be. And naturally in concerts it's even easier because I have a different audience every night, so I want to show people how fantastic this is every night. But not every piece really can do that. So there is some bottomless beauty in the piece that makes it possible.
At the end of the slow movement, instead of going immediately into a rip-roaring last movement, once again, Mendelssohn decides to do something totally different. He puts a little link passage, a little bridge passage, which slightly harks back to the first movement.
This is only interrupted by the signal of trumpets. So we know this kind of trumpet signal that it's announcing a big change, yeah? Either the army is coming to liberate the country or whatever, and everything is going to be good again. So this is exactly what it is here.
I always feel that this last movement has got a great element of dance about it. Great leaps going on in the air, almost as if a dancer was jumping as high as he possibly could.
The last movement is really like we have gone through Darkness to Light, very, very joyful dance. So there we have a connection to the fantastic, great music of Beethoven. But in violin writing, we also can see Paganini and maybe Viotti and some of the French violin composers.
And of course, this movement is the perfect end to what up until this point has been a pretty lyrical violin concerto. He really knows now how to get the fanfares going and the fireworks started.
It is a piece that has no direct predecessor, I find, because it is fantastic music, not by a violinist and by a serious classical composer, and still it incorporates the element of virtuosity in a way both Mozart and Beethoven haven't done in their pieces. Compared to most other pieces, actually it is physically not challenging, because so much of it is written in a light way and elegant, as opposed to, I mean, if you have worked through the first soli of both the Tchaikovsky or Brahms concerto, I feel much more exhausted than after the whole of the Mendelssohn concerto. It's a completely different touch you use for your violin in this piece.
There is a wonderful moment halfway through the last movement where Mendelssohn does an incredibly clever little juxtaposition of his themes, where he takes the melody from the violin and he puts underneath it a beautiful long lyrical theme in the cellos and violas, you know, and the violin's dancing on top of it. And it's so brilliant the way that he brings these two themes together. I think it was Isaac Stern that responded to the question, which of all of the violin concertos still holds the most fear for you? And his reply was the Mendelssohn. And I think it's because it is such a perfect concerto. But also, in fact, it is very exposed and calls for some quite technical proficiency in order to really play it absolutely stunningly. Mendelssohn then chooses to finish the concerto with a sort of little coda passage. In fact, the last page of the violin part is solid semiquavers, so it's really building up in excitement, and the violin gets right up to the top with all these semiquavers and a fantastic movement of chromaticism in the basses, which again just ups the excitement level to the real top. And then it's a sort of fast surge forward and a few little cadences and a bravura flourish, and that's it. That's the end of the concerto, and hopefully rapturous applause will ensue.
Maxim Vengerov was playing Mendelssohn's violin concerto in E minor, taking part in Taking Note, where the violinist Tasmin Little and Christian Tetzlaff. Taking Note was produced in Birmingham by Rosie Bolton. And next week's programme at the same time focuses on Bach's St. Matthew Passion.